Great to have you with us today. A lot going on. Oh, I see my broadcast partner is going to show up at practice today. Wow. Yeah, Mr. Ham has texted over and he's going to show up today. Well, so far so good at practice. You know, they haven't had their first big scrimmage yet. That's coming up still, but so far so good. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. We are going to have eventually Mike DeCourcy talking about the changes in college basketball. Like, when I first saw it yesterday, I thought, oh, okay, well, here we go. Here's some significant changes. You know, you can, I'll give you an example. You can enter the draft. If you aren't drafted, you can go back to school. I thought, that's really great. Oh, and then you take, you know, that's one thing about looking at bullet points. But it's a big change when you start to actually read what they did. Okay? The ability to go back to school if you were not drafted. Au contraire, mon frère. You have to be invited to the combine. One of the 60 players invited to the combine. And if you don't get drafted, you're then allowed to go back to school. Now, do you want to know exactly how many players were affected by that if the rule were in place this year? Seven. There are 4,500 basketball players in Division I. That rule would have affected seven this year. Huh? What about the other 130 that put their names in and weren't drafted? They didn't make the combine. They weren't drafted. What about that? Didn't take care of business there. So that was like playing the shell game that they did. So to me, that is insignificant. And let's face it, if they were invited to the combine, there's a very good chance that they want to keep going and want to go to the NBA Summer League. For example, one of the guards from Duke that didn't end up getting selected, right, ended up signing a 50-50 deal between the G League and the NBA. I mean, those guys are not going back to school. And only that rule affected would have affected seven players from this June's draft. Seven out of 4,500. Seven. So that's a doozy. The one about you can get an agent if you're in high school. All right? You're like, wow, okay, that's interesting. Except that rule doesn't go into play for 3 years, which happens to coincide when the new collective bargaining agreement between the NBA and the Players Association is supposed to be negotiated. They also didn't tell the NBA they were doing this. They also didn't tell the Players Association they were doing this. And then they came up with this and will determine who elite prospects are that can qualify for agents through USA Basketball. Except the NCAA didn't tell USA Basketball about this either. The rule where a player can opt for the NBA draft, or sorry, opt to explore the NBA draft and can have an agent in the exploration is a good rule. You have to be able to navigate how the system works. Now, when it comes to the combine, let's be honest about it. It is the player and their performance that gets them into the combine. It is not an agent that gets a player into the combine. Just because your agent happens to be Kyle Alexander, agent of all agents, right? That agent is not going to get you into the NBA Combine. You and your performance will get you the NBA Combine. Now, where does the agent come into play? Helping you to navigate expenses, helping to navigate travel, helping you to then, once the combine is over with, or even beforehand, getting the agent does a great job of getting you workouts with individual teams. All right, I've been able to get in contact with Portland. You're going to work out for the Blazers on the 22nd. On the 24th, I've got you in Dallas to work out with the Mavericks. I got a hold of the Pistons. On the 26th, they're going to go to Detroit. That's where the agent really does help. There's no getting around it. And anybody who doesn't think that doesn't understand the system. They've also done a brilliant job through, obviously, the FBI case is one where in the FBI case, you're going to have black hat, white hat. When you're trying to win a case, you need to assign who the black hat is. You need to assign who the white hat is when you're trying to win a case. I mean, it's, you know, let's face it, the court system is not really about like the truth anymore. It's about winning. That's another commentary for Mark's show. But, I mean seriously, how many times you hear people come out, yeah, we won. Yeah, okay, but did we find out the truth? No, we won. Okay, great. Well, in the FBI case, right, we have indictments, no convictions, anything like that so far. AAU basketball and apparel companies have been assigned essentially the black hats.
Okay.
All right. So let's get to the reality of AAU basketball. Here's what I'm not crazy about AAU basketball. I think in the ability to show off skills, you see a lot of selfish one-on-one basketball. All right, you don't really see a team concept or anything like that. Okay. But that is the only qualm I've had about AAU basketball, is I think you develop some selfish habits playing AAU basketball. Because, again, you're trying to showcase yourself so you can sign with somebody. That's always been the only rub I've had with AAU basketball. Now let's get to the positives. For coaches, it's one-stop shopping. You can see all some really, really good prospects all playing at the same time. Next, I talked about the one-on-one nature of AAU basketball, but you're also playing with other very talented people, and you're also playing against some talented people. You get a pretty good gauge about where you stand, and recruiters have a pretty good gauge about where you stand. So AAU is absolutely not all bad. So if you want to assign black hat, white hat, at worst, AAU basketball is gray. At worst, leaning more toward the white hat. Okay? Hey, it's simple as that. I mean, there's a lot of good that comes out of it. Doesn't mean that there aren't some people that take it too far. I mean, the Little League World Series is about to start here in a few days. People cheat at Little League. Now, does every Little League cheat? Of course not. Absolutely, they follow the rules, they do exactly what they're supposed to, and the whole thing. It's the ones that get the publicity that taint the whole thing. Where now we're going to take guys from this little league over here and have them play. That dude's 14, you know, he kind of looks 12, we'll play him. And so you get that even in Little League, which is a fun and should be a fun enterprise. I mean, seriously, it's not, okay, I mean, is Little League that serious? No. No. Okay, where do you go from Little League? I don't know, to being a 13-year-old. You're not getting a scholarship out of it. You're years away from college, right? You become a 13-year-old. You're going to sign a minor league contract? It's going to be a 13-year-old. Yet you have people who over the years have hurt the reputation of Little League because they cheated. Well, it's the same thing in AAU basketball or with college coaches. You have a few that have cheated that have ruined the reps for everybody else. And the same thing with apparel companies. Apparel companies do a lot of good. A lot of good. I think you're able to have as many scholarships as you do today in college sports because apparel companies have gotten involved by doling out cash, but also doling out apparel. That doesn't mean you don't get somebody who's in the chain that you can't control and gets out of whack, and they end up doing something wrong. And again, these Nike Elite camps and Adidas and Under Armour, everything. Look, again, nothing wrong with them. Now, do I prefer the old system of, you know, high schools and things like that? Yeah, but I mean, you know, again, the ability to face off one-on-one or in a team setting against other allegedly comparable talent. Okay. So what they've done is that something happened with the FBI investigating assistant coaches, potential payouts, apparel companies, prospects, AAU. I mean, all those layers are in the indictments that have been handed down in New York. Okay, so they in their write-up of the indictments surrounding the four assistant basketball coaches, you've had all these layers involved. So now there's this reaction that we have to react to the layers. And they do a grandiose press conference, it was a teleconference, press conference, whatever, yesterday, about what they're doing. And the initial bullet points, I sat back and went, okay, here we go. And then when I sat back and really had a chance to read it, I looked around and said, this is a bunch of nothing. They didn't do anything. I mean, the agent part, where an agent can, you know, you can get an agent if you enter your name into the NBA draft, and then you have the ability to pull your name out of the draft and sever ties with the agent. Okay. That, to me, is a significant step. All the other stuff, no. In order to have the ability to go back to school if you're not drafted, goes for the combine guys. Nobody else. This year it was 7. Year before it would have been 5. There are 4,500 players. So now the other 4,493 don't fall into the purview of this. Okay. The part about identifying elite, well, we'd like USA Basketball to do that, except USA Basketball knew nothing about this. They don't want to be put in the position of assigning an elite. And what does elite mean? It's a guess that they're able to get agents. But again, that's going to be an absolutely irrelevant rule as well. If these guys, you can picture the NBA changing the rules so that high school players can go directly in. They're probably going to do it within 3 years. This rule that they're talking about now about agents and so forth with high school players doesn't go into effect for, ironically, 3 years. The problem with what the NCAA did in this case is they took some of the Rice Commission stuff, which, as you know, I kind of looked at and went, okay, that's it? And that's all we got out of it. And then the NCAA took that and they've crafted this, and it ended up being a lot of, so what? Didn't affect many players. Now, at the end, we're going to have Mike DeCourcy on in a little bit. But Mike is right. I know when I talked to Mike earlier today, and I agree with Mike, he says, yeah, the part about the agents, that does help. And again, the declaration date, the drop dead date that you're entering the draft and not taking your name out is later now than ever. They've done a good job of giving everybody enough leeway so that when the combine is over with, you can work out with several teams. That way you get a proper evaluation. An agent usually does a great job of setting that stuff up. And so that's where an agent does help. You know, and plus, you know, some of the expenses, things like that, that go with it. So that is a rule change that's good. But they did nothing with likeness. Now, likeness is tricky. Yeah, likeness is tricky. It's not... Let's talk about the positive of likeness. The positive of likeness would include, for example, the ability to sell players' jersey. How many of you would have bought a number 26 jersey last year? Okay, how many of you would have bought a 26 jersey last year? But there has to be a way to compensate Saquon Barkley when he was here, that they would essentially, he's taken 26 and elevated it. That's why it's, you know, that's why 26 is so important. But you can't do that now. At Northwestern, they sell 1, 18, and Pat Fitzgerald's retired 51. Here they sell 1 and 18. I don't think there's any other jersey they're selling here this year that I know of. So that's one. But now let's flip it the other way. I am a car dealer in Dallas, Texas. And I have the ability to pay the great quarterback $1 million to endorse my car dealership, even though the normal endorsement number would be $40,000 to $50,000 for anybody else. But I'm a huge Pick University booster, and I'm going to give him $1 million to endorse my dealership. See, that's what you have to now negotiate through and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, he's going to pick my school over your school because I've got a car dealer who's going to give him $1 million, and you've got a car dealer who's going to give him $40,000. So those are some of the issues when it comes to likeness. It's like being on EA Sports. Yeah, you've got to compensate that. Jersey, got to compensate that. Go to an autograph show and sell it. Yeah, you're fine about that. It's then that gray area you have to look into.
Sunbury Motors Kia is getting aggressive in August with 22 under 20 grand. Sunbury Motors Kia is getting aggressive on prices with 22 brand new Kias priced under $20,000. Choose from 2018 Kia Fortes, Souls, Rios, Optimus, even some 2019 models.
These models won't last long.
Sunbury Motors Kia has 2018 Kia SUVs under 30 grand, plus 0% for up to 72 months available on many models. And get Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Have a trade? They're aggressive there, too. Paying you top dollar for your trade. SMC is getting aggressive in August and purging their 2018 inventory now. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Tax and tags extra, 0% financing, well qualified customers through KMS. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A big show coming up today. Jonathan Alexander from the Raleigh News and Observer. We're going to talk to him about the shoe scandal at North Carolina that has affected 13 players to the point where some are suspended for 4 games and have had to actually rotate suspensions and stagger them in order to make this happen. Then in the next half hour, Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News Big Ten Network, on what the NCAA did yesterday with college basketball. Mike is always somebody that's highly informed, very opinionated, and someone I have tremendous respect for. And then Audrey Snyder from The Athletic on last night's Penn State football practice regimen. So we'll have all that and more coming up on the show today. So let's start out with this day in sports history, and then we'll go to Raleigh and Jonathan Alexander from the News and Observer on the North Carolina situation. But first, this day in sports history. And on this day in sports history, it looked like this. In 1936, Jesse Owens won his fourth gold medal at the Berlin Olympics. He was the first American to win four medals in one Olympiad. And, of course, he did it right there with Adolf Hitler watching. 1975, the New Orleans Superdome officially opened when the Saints played the Houston Oilers in an exhibition game. The Superdome at that time, $163 million to build in 1975. By the way, the first ever Sugar Bowl to be played in the Superdome was Penn State and Alabama. 1981, Major League Baseball teams resumed play at the conclusion of their first ever midseason player strike. 1984, Daley Thompson of Britain, who won the decathlon in Moscow in 1980, duplicated the feat in Los Angeles on the state in 1984. 1988, Wayne Gretzky was traded by the Edmonton Oilers to the LA Kings. Trade was at Gretzky's request. He was sent to the Kings with Mike Krzyzewski and Marty McSorley. Edmonton got Jimmy Carson, Martin Jelena, and three first-round draft picks in cash. This really changed the NHL, putting him in Los Angeles. It also changed youth hockey in California. 1990, the NHL approved the sale of the Minnesota North Stars to George and Gordon Gunn. The Guns were then granted the rights to a Bay Area team that ended up being the San Jose Sharks. And Shannon Easton in 2012 became the first female NFL referee in a preseason game between the Chargers and the Green Bay Packers. That is this day in sports history. At North Carolina, players selling shoes, 13 of them selling shoes. Jonathan Alexander, News and Observer in Raleigh, North Carolina, joins us. Hello, Jonathan. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
North Carolina problem with the 13 players. What are they exactly accused of doing? I'm going to, and then let us know, what kind of shoes are these? Are these the regular Jordan basketball type shoes or the cleats?
First of all, they're regular shoes. They're Air Jordan Retro 3s, which are stylish shoes. They're in Carolina blue colors. They're accused of selling those shoes to vendors, shoe stores, local shoe stores, and accused of selling them to other teammates. A few of the shoes that were sold to the shoe stores were sold for as much as $2,500.
Wow. Jonathan, how did this come to light? Because North Carolina conducted its own internal investigation, I think starting in January. How did it come to light that they found out about this?
So apparently, a self-described UNC fan, lifelong UNC fan, emailed Bubba Cunningham on around January 12th or January 11th. I'm not sure the exact date, but I know Bubba Cunningham responded on January 12th. The UNC fan said that he had saw the shoes, the exclusive shoes that they had recently got on the 11th on a local shoe website. He was a shoe connoisseur, and he had saw it on this website and told Bubba Cunningham that the players were selling the shoes, and he just wanted to make them aware. And then they conducted the investigation from there.
Did the players admit that they did this, or is it just through investigation they are suspended?
Well, I believe they admitted it, and I say that because they requested all the players return their shoes. All the players and coaches returned their shoes, and nine of them were not returned. We were able to confirm that the players sold them because the shoe store companies admitted it to us, two of the shoe store companies. And we talked to a player also who talked about how much of a mistake it was that he sold the shoes.
Okay, explain now again. Players get all sorts of apparel. They get warm-ups. They get T-shirts, sweatshirts, obviously shoes, things like that. You and I both know that. We're around it all the time. Is there a formal agreement that says they can't sell it?
Yes, there is. They go through with the compliance office, has a presentation at the beginning of every year, and they have a presentation with a PowerPoint slide, and one of the slides specifically says that you cannot sell any gear that you are awarded through athletic competition. And Bubba Cunningham also said that it is the coach's job to constantly remind these players this. But at the beginning of each year, the compliance office does a presentation with the football players about this, warning them not to sell their gear.
All right, so now these are going to be staggered. I know there was a quarterback competition down at Chapel Hill anyway, and so people are debating whether he would have won the job or not. Now it's not even an issue. Explain how they've staggered this, and in terms of competitively, how it at least gives it North Carolina a competitive chance because they're staggering them.
Well, I don't know exactly which games off the top of my head and which players, but there are four defensive ends who were suspended. So two of the defensive ends will have their suspension staggered, and they'll be able to play on days two of the other defensive ends can play, and then, you know, vice versa, when the other defensive ends are suspended, those defensive ends who were suspended the first four games or two games, whichever they were, they'll be able to play when their suspension is up.
Yeah, so they'll rotate. They'll essentially rotate suspensions there because it was all at one position.
Correct.
All right, get to the quarterback part of it. Now, I know there's another quarterback who, in all likelihood, was not going to play. Anyway, explain the quarterback part so everyone understands that.
So Nathan Elliott, who is a junior quarterback who played the final three games for UNC, he was in a competition with Chad Surratt, who started the beginning of the year and beat Elliott out in the beginning of last season. And both of them, Elliott played okay. He got a 2-1 record while he was there. Surratt didn't play so well. I think he was about 1-6 in his start. But they were pretty equal as far as stats, though. So most people thought that Surratt had the highest upside. Elliott brought a sense of leadership to the team, so they were in a competition. So it was really unclear who was going to win the battle at the beginning of the season. More people outside of the program probably would have told you Surratt. But we know that that's not the case anymore. Elliott is going to be the starter with Fedora to pair, and a lot of people like his leadership. And that's one of the things that Fedora has talked about, that he looks in a quarterback. Another backup quarterback was also suspended. He didn't really have a chance, and the other backup quarterback didn't really have a chance at starting either. But the problem with Surratt being out is if Elliott is on the, he's no longer able to be on a short leash if he doesn't do it, Surratt in. So Elliott is going to have to, perform well when in those games.
We're with Jonathan Alexander, the News and Observer in Raleigh, talking about Carolina. And I think anybody who's sitting there can do simple math. When you're talking about the records of the starting quarterbacks last year, it ends up total 3-9. So a combination of 3-9, along with players selling shoes despite being reminded repeatedly, don't do it, along with comments made about CTE at the ACC Media Days, where is Larry Fedora right now? Is this a big year for him, or does he have more latitude?
I think it's starting to seem like it's a big year for him because many North Carolina fans weren't happy about a CTE comment. They're embarrassed about this shoe incident. So the more you're starting to hear about this stuff, the higher the seat gets for Fedora. People were not pleased with that 3-9 record last year. Of course, injuries had a huge part to do with it, but, you see these programs wanting to win and win now. And I think Fedora has to perform well this year in order to ensure that his job is kept. I don't know if they'll you know, if what kind of latitude they'll have. I think he deserves it in a way because of his previous record,
right,
and the success he has. But right now, it's not looking great.
North Carolina, of course, went through the situation with the, I guess for the lack of a better term, no-show class or no-show classes that were involved there. Now, they were able to get out of it in part because it was offered to every student. How touchy are they at North Carolina because they want to make sure they stay in the straight and narrow no matter what, thus this internal investigation was important?
Yeah, I think that's the reason why you saw the suspensions were so steep for some of the players, because, you know, the perception is there that they don't penalize, they don't hold themselves accountable after this incident. And in some respects, you know, they weren't really held accountable after the academic scandal. So I think that is the reason why you saw many of the players suspended for 4 years. So they're trying to show that whenever they make a mistake, they're going to hold themselves accountable. Now, whether it's genuine, I don't know. They'll tell you that it is, but I think that's what they're trying. That's what they were trying to accomplish in that suspension.
Jonathan, when you look at North Carolina football, North Carolina football over time has had moments where they've been good. They've never been great, but they've had some good teams. What has kept them from getting over the hump, in your opinion, of making that last step from good to being really, really good?
I felt like they were close to on the way, but I think a lot of it has to do with recruiting. One of the important things is recruiting inside your state, and seems that North Carolina just hasn't been able to get over that hump. And then you have strong teams in the ACC as well, like Clemson and Miami as well. But I think recruiting is a huge part in them never being able to get the top in-state recruits. I think basketball is very important to people in North Carolina, particularly at the University of North Carolina. It's not a football school. You don't ever see the stadiums full, and that's part and because of the emphasis put on basketball. So I think it's a combination of all those things.
Well, absolute pleasure, Jonathan. I appreciate the time that you gave us and the insight as well.
Well, thank you for having me.
Jonathan Alexander from the News and Observer in Raleigh, North Carolina, on the shoe scandal at North Carolina. Next half hour, Mike DeCourcy on the new basketball rules and the limited impact it's going to have. And final half hour, Audrey Snyder of The Athletic on Penn State football as we continue, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia is getting aggressive in August with 22 under 20 grand. Sunbury Motors Kia is getting aggressive on prices with 22 brand new Kias priced under $20,000. Choose from 2018 Kia Fortes, Souls, Rios, Optimus, even some 2019 models.
These models won't last long.
Sunbury Motors Kia has 2018 Kia SUVs under 30 grand, plus 0% for up to 72 months available on many models. And get Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Have a trade? They're aggressive there, too. Paying you top dollar for your trade. SMC is getting aggressive in August and purging their 2018 inventory now. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Taxes, tags, extra, 0% financing, well qualified customers through KMN. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
So great to have you with us, and we roll on here, and Mike DeCourcy next half hour on the NCAA and the, you know, they made it seem like they made the earth move yesterday with the announcement they made. And then, you know, I started out first blush reading the bullet points, and I thought, okay, this is a good start. If you, for example, have, if you end of the draft, don't get drafted, you go back to school. I said, that's great. And then you read into it. And when you read into it, oh, what do you end up with? You end up with only if you're invited to the combine. Well, in this year, that would have meant seven players would have had the ability to go back to school, not the others. The others would not have had the opportunity to go back to school. Unbelievable. That was it. You can hire an agent if you're an elite prospect. Well, A, they didn't tell USA Basketball that they were going to help identifying elite prospects. And USA Basketball is like, we don't want to do that. They didn't tell the NBA. They didn't tell the Players Association. Now, this doesn't go into effect for 3 years, which ironically is when the Players Association contract with the NBA owners runs out, and that's when the door might be open to then going one and done and getting rid of it. Okay. So there's that. So in other words, that becomes irrelevant. More enforcement, outside agencies. Look, what do you think the purpose was of what happened around here? That's what they were trying to do. Get an outside entity to handle investigations. And how did that work? So, that's, these are all different issues that they're dealing with that don't, And John Calipari's right. He says, the second a guy opts for the draft, you're out there recruiting somebody to replace him. That's what you're doing. He says, so the ability for them to go back to school, no. It's not going to happen usually at that school. It's not going to happen. There is you see this stuff and you're like, and you ask yourself, okay, I know there's well-intentioned people on here. I do understand that. They're well-intentioned people. But some of this stuff doesn't make any sense. I don't know. So we'll talk to Mike about that. In the next half hour, and Audrey Snyder at Penn State Football in the final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Mike DeCourcy next half hour on the basketball rules. And Audrey Snyder from The Athletic on Penn State football and yesterday's press availability. Today's show again brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.